Lord, you're worthy, you're awesome, you're mighty, you're powerful, you're great, God. You're so, so, so good, God. And we're so excited to be here, Lord God, to be in the land of the living one more time, God. Thank you for that awesome privilege, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, we invite you to join us for praise and worship. Participate wherever you are.
Yes.
Actively participate this morning. God is so good, y'all. He is so good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Put your hands together. Thank you, Lord, for unconditional love this morning, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for your power, Lord. So unbeatable, God. Hallelujah. The greatness of the Lord.
The greatness of the Lord is inconceivable.
The love that he showed.
The love that he showed is unconditional.
The power of the Lord.
The power of the Lord.
The greatness
of the Lord is inconceivable.
Love that he shows
is unconditional. Hallelujah. Let everything
be the Lord. Thank you for your goodness, God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we lift your name high in all the earth, Lord God. We thank you that you're high above any circumstance, any above any and every name, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God.
Oh, Lord, we praise you. Oh, Lord, we glorify you. Oh, Lord, we lift your name up high in all the earth, all the earth. Oh, Lord, we magnify thee and bless, bless your holy name. Oh, Lord, we lift your name up high in all the earth, high in all the earth, high in all the earth.
Sing it with me.
Oh, Lord, we praise you. Oh, Lord, we glorify.
And all of your greatness, with my whole heart, I'm gonna lift your name up high in all the earth, all the earth. May this song of praise and adoration bless thee, O Lord, and exhortation as all of the nations we lift your name up. High in all the earth, high in all the earth, high in all the earth. Oh Lord,
oh Lord, we praise you. Oh Lord, we glorify you. Oh
Hallelujah. In all the earth, Lord God, we lift your name high. In all the earth, Lord God, in friendship, in our lives, God, we lift your name high, God. High in all the earth. You deserve it, Lord God. We lift you high because you deserve it, Lord God. Hallelujah. You've been so good to us, God. This morning we attest of your goodness, God. Hallelujah. Our hallelujah belongs to you, God. You deserve it, God. You've earned it, God. Hallelujah. You've earned it, God. Hallelujah. You've earned it, God. Hallelujah. You've earned that, God. Hallelujah. You've made a way out of no way, God. Hallelujah. You, hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Thank you, God, for being so real in our lives, God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord God. You deserve it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My hallelujah belongs to you. 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 You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. My hallelujah. One more.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Yes, it does, God.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Yes, it does.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
My
hallelujah belongs to you.
One voice will say, you deserve it, God.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
All of the glory,
all of the glory belongs to you.
You deserve it, God. Say
all of the glory belongs to you.
All of the glory
belongs to you.
Say
all of the glory belongs to you.
Let me tell them why.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
You're our Father, hallelujah. Never let us down, God.
It belongs to you.
You put it in our mouth, God, so we say it back to you.
Our hallelujah, it belongs to you.
Nobody deserves that praise but you, God.
Our hallelujah belongs to you.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. Can we sing my hallelujah?
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Make it so personal right now. Just you and your God.
My hallelujah,
you and your Father.
Belongs
you and your provider.
You.
You and your healer. You and your sustainer. Your redeemer.
My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you.
Let's tell him, because you deserve it.
Yes.
You deserve it.
Think about what you're saying.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, you're awesome in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Lord, we do honor you for everything that you are to us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father God, you are so good. Hallelujah, Jesus. Your mercy endureth forever. Glory to God. Your truth endureth to all generations. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for we've tasted your goodness. Hallelujah. And we know that we are blessed because we trust in you. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you that we can assemble together wherever we are, glory to God. And give a collective praise to you. Hallelujah, glory to God. The word declares is your highest praise. So we honor you today that we can praise you with the fruit of our lips. From the genuineness of our hearts. In Jesus' name. Now, Father God, we thank you for this segment of the worship experience where your word is preached, your word is taught, glory to God. Father God, we thank you that you have mercy upon me as I stand to be used of the Holy Spirit to say and do everything that you desire us to say and do in this place. Glory to God. Holy Spirit, we invite you now to go before the Word to quicken us in our innermost being so that we can spiritually discern and receive with meekness everything that the Word is sharing with us in this place today. Holy Spirit, I thank you that as I stand, that you do stand up in my body, that you do speak with my mouth, that you do think with my mind, that you do flow through me to say and do everything that Abba, our Father, Jesus, our Lord and King, desires you to flow through us to say and do in this place today. Father God, we thank you that there's no satanic hindrance that shall hinder the free flow of your word in this place today. Thank you, Father God, that we are blessed, that is, we're empowered to prosper your way as the word fall on good ground, that good ground being our hearts, our minds, our spirits, even our souls in the name of Jesus. Father God, we honor you today that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are acceptable in your sight, Lord. You are our strength and our redeemer. We shout hallelujah, glory to God. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all who put their prayer said, somebody say amen again. Come on, let's bless the Lord in this place today. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let's bless the Lord wherever you are, wherever you are. Amen, amen, amen. His goodness and his mercy does follow us every day of our lives. And we thank God that we do the well in his presence, not just now, but throughout eternity. Somebody say amen. Well, good morning, friendship. Good morning, social media friends and family who are joining us by way of any social media venue today. Amen. And good morning to everyone who's joining us by way of teleconferencing today. Amen, amen, amen. Usher, you may be seated. You may be seated. Y'all look wonderful today. Amen. While it's on my mind, let me remind everybody who's with us today and who's viewing us by way of any social media venue that the sanctuary at Friendship Christian Church Ministries reopened on June the 4th. We are opening up for everybody to come back who wants to be in the midst of us June the 4th, 2021. And we're just excited about everybody who we will see that we haven't seen in over a year or so. Somebody say amen. So we're open for fellowship beginning June 4th, 2021. We are practicing all of our social, all of our CDC protocols. I'm not saying, man, we'll be social distancing. We'll be wearing our mask until such time as we get the all clear not to do those things. Somebody say, man. It's June 6th. That's the first Sunday. I thought it was June 4th. Or June 6th, the first Sunday in June. Whatever that date is, somebody say amen. We'll be coming together again. Somebody say amen. Amen. We'll still be virtual. Those of you all who don't feel comfortable coming, or if you just want to view us by way of Facebook Live or by way of live stream, you can still do so. Amen. But if you want to come in fellowship, the doors of the church are open. Somebody say amen. Well, I believe it's Mother's Day today. Amen. Amen. Somebody gave me a thumbs up. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Amen. We wouldn't be here without you. Amen. And some of us wouldn't be as well off as we are without our mothers. Amen. I found myself missing my mom this morning. And I find myself missing my mother-in-law this morning as well. Amen. But they're in the heavenly place. Amen. They're in the heavens with the Lord. So we bless God for all that they contributed to our lives while they were here, and all that they meant to us while they were here in the earth realm, and all that they mean to us even today. Amen. It's good to be here. Amen. This is the house of God. Amen. And His presence is here. Somebody say amen. Well, we're in week number seven of our series entitled Healthy and Unhealthy Mindsets and Attitudes. Amen. We know that mindsets are fixed ways of thinking in our minds, somebody say in our mind, that can only change when we, the thinker, make the change. Amen. Somebody say amen. And attitudes are ways of thinking, again, that's in our mind, that governs the way that we perform, act, or behave. Amen. So we're in week number seven. These teachings, we're in week number five. Somebody say number five. About teachings concerning thoughts on thinking, learning, and customs. Thoughts on thinking, learning, and customs. Amen. Customs just being the natural way of behavior. Somebody say amen. Well, before we get started on the lesson today, I don't have any time on the clock. I don't know what that means. Amen. Let's go to our foundational scripture. Amen. We have three foundational scriptures for this series. Our first scripture will be found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse number 7. Hey, somebody need to keep my time for me today, because I'll preach beyond my time if somebody don't keep it for me. The clock is not working back there today. So somebody need to, when 45 minutes hit the fan, if you will, amen. Somebody needs to raise their hand. My wife says she has it, amen. And she has it too, amen. Somebody say amen. Foundation of passage number one, Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7a, and it states, "For as he thinks, as he or she thinks in his heart, so is he." Somebody says, "So is he." So somebody says, "So am I." Somebody says, "So am I." The scripture said, "For a man, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So we understand from that particular passage of scripture that our quality of life comes out of what we think. Our quality of life comes out of our thinking. Somebody say amen. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 19 will be our second foundational passage. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 19. Amen. And it states, "As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart," a man's heart reveals the man, amen. What you're thinking, we see in your acts, in your actions, in your behavior, in your performances, etc. And even better than that, in your thinking, you see. I see in my behavior, my performance, my acts, and my actions, amen. If I can throw this out parenthetically, if my actions don't line up with what I want to do or what I want to be, I need to work on changing my thinking so that my actions can line up with what I want to be or how I want to act or how I want to perform, even how I want to be perceived in the earth realm. Amen. So what we think in our hearts, heart being here, mind, what we think in our hearts can be seen in our acts, in our performances, our behaviors, etc. Somebody say amen. And then our last passage, 3 John 2, New Testament, 1, 2, 3, John 3, or 3 John, verse 2, 3 John, verse 2. And it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper." Somebody say prosper. Somebody say be successful. Be successful in how many things? In all things. And be what? In health. Just as what? Your soul prosper. The prosperity of your soul determines the prosperity of your living. Or the prosperity of your life. And you know what we're talking about. When we talk about prosperity, we talk about whole life prosperity. Not just the money aspect. Somebody say the money aspect. It's important. Somebody say it's important. Money answereth all things, says the scripture. Somebody say amen. So it's important that we have a little money. Somebody say a little money. But we also can be successful in every other area of our life. Somebody say amen. But in order for that prosperity, that success to take place, in order for us to have favorable outcomes in our lives, our minds or our souls, the souls being the seat of our mind, will, and emotion, has to line up with the direction that we're trying to go in. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So if my life is going to look prosperous, my thinking, my soul has to prosper in the way that I desire to go. Somebody say amen. Last week we talked a little bit about oriented thinking. Somebody say oriented thinking. And cultural thinking. Amen. And we said about oriental thinking. Oriental or orient means to readjust or to adjust. Amen. So we said about oriented thinking. I said oriental, didn't I? Oriented thinking is adjusted thinking, if you will. Oriented thinking is thinking that we can adjust to in whatever culture we're in, whatever environment we're in, or in whatever business culture, etc. we're in. Somebody say amen. Oriented thinking is adjusted thinking, amen. Our thinking can be adjusted to good. Somebody say the good. How do you want to live? Somebody say, how do I want to live? My thinking needs to line up with that. So if I need to adjust my thinking in any area to line up with the way that I desire to live, I need to work on my thinking. Somebody say my thinking. Remember again, as a man thinketh in his heart, somebody said, that's who he is. Somebody said, that's who he is. And then we talked about the fact last week that our cultural beliefs, our cultural learnings, our cultural behaviors can be changed. Somebody say amen. Now, we're not saying that your cultural beliefs, learning, behaviors are bad, amen. But in some cases, they are. So if you don't like what your culture has taught you by way of living, you can change that thinking, amen. Somebody say amen. Or you can change that learning. Somebody say amen. Somebody thought just because you was raised a certain way that you had to live that way or behave that way for the rest of your life. Somebody say amen. But that's not so, especially if that learning, behavior, or practices are not conducive to good living, amen. God wants us to have life, and he wants us to have it more abundantly, amen. And if you look at your living and determine that your life is not in a place of abundant living, you need to go back if your living is being governed by your cultural upbringing, if you will. You need to go back and make some changes. Sometimes you need to get rid of some of that thinking, amen. It's called renovation. Somebody say renovation. It's called taking out that which is not conducive to the good living and replacing it with something that is conducive to good living. Amen. For the most part, when we teach about change, we're trying to get us to the place, somebody say to the place, where we let the Word of God govern us in everything that we do. So we're trying to get to the place where we get us to work diligently, somebody say diligently, on lining up our thinking with God's thinking, if you will. You might not have known this, but I'm telling you this morning, the Bible, especially the teachings of Christ, are God's thoughts. In Christ Jesus, God put his thoughts into words by way of teaching, by way of acting, so that we can grasp them and live them out in the earth realm. Amen. Lord, deliver me from this getting saved and going to heaven type mentality. Amen. Let me tell you what I mean by that. One thing that we ought to be secure in is that we're going to heaven. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. You got a seat reserved in heaven that's undefiled, that faded not the way, that's reserved in heaven just for you. Amen. Just for me. Somebody say amen. That's according to 1 Peter. Somebody say chapter 1. Somebody say chapter 1. So we don't have to concern ourselves with going to heaven, because you already have a reservation there, amen. You're already eternally secure, amen, as long as you stay in Christ Jesus, amen. Now, if you fall out of Christ Jesus, that's an issue. Somebody said that's the issue, amen. Some people don't believe you can, but I read in the scriptures where you can. Somebody say amen. So the heavenly part of this Christian journey is settled. You ain't, and I know that's bad grammar, you don't have to work to try to get to heaven. You don't have to try to do your best to make it in, amen. Because heaven is the place where if you died right now, if you're in Christ Jesus, it's where you're going, amen. So we need to settle that. Somebody say settle that. I don't have to think about it anymore. I don't have to sing about it anymore. I don't have to talk about it anymore, because I'm going to heaven. Somebody say, I'm going to heaven. And somebody said, I'm going to heaven anyhow. Somebody said, anyhow. So we don't have to focus on heaven so much. Amen. You're going to see your mama. Amen. If you go to heaven, if your mama's there. Amen. You're going to see your daddy. You're going to see your sisters, your brothers, all those folks that died before you and went to heaven. Amen. Heaven is settled. Somebody say settled. So since heaven, somebody say since heaven, not if, but since heaven is settled, I need to be concentrating on what I'm supposed to be doing now here. Amen. In the time between my salvation and heaven, I need to be focusing on what I need to be doing now here. Amen. And that's living a life that will glorify God. Amen. Somebody say amen. And since Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, abundant living in Christ Jesus, by God's way of living, glorifies God. Amen. So we need to learn how to live abundantly. Amen. Okay. We need to learn how to live abundantly. Amen. He said the poor are going to be with us always. I've tried to teach you this over the last 22 years. Just because he said that don't mean you got to be the poor. Amen. Impoverished thinking needs to change. We need to start thinking, I think I started with this, we need to start thinking of success in every area of our lives. Every area. Somebody say every area. Well, Pastor, we're going to have some hard times and some difficulties. We are. Jesus said that we will. Somebody say we will. In this life, we're going to have some tribulations. But he said, be of good cheer. Amen. Paul says, all things work together for good. Amen. Which means there's going to be some bad things that happen. Amen. But some good ought to come out of the bad. Amen. You ought to learn something from the bad. Somebody say amen. So we need to be focusing on what we need to do down here. That's why God deals with me on thinking. Change thinking. So that our living can change to glorify Him. But I think sometimes we need to understand where some of our thinking came from. Because to some of us, some of our thinking is so sacred based upon where we got it from, amen. But if it's wrong, it's sacredly wrong. If it doesn't get you to the place where God desires us, or if it doesn't get us to the place where God desires us to be, it's broken. It's broken thinking, amen. It's thinking that came from the fall, if you will. Somebody say amen. Well, how can you be so bold to say that? I'll be so bold to say it because Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted, amen. Broken. Somebody say broken. Hearted. Somebody say hearted. Hearted has to do with the way that we think, amen. Our thinking was out of order. Somebody say out of order. That's why we couldn't get the life that God desires for us to have or desires for us to have because sometimes our thinking is out of order, amen. I can remember a time where I could have, and I can now in some places hang a sign on my mind that says out of order. I'm not thinking right. I was having a conversation with a preacher a couple of days, 3 days ago, and we were talking about actions and behaviors, and I shared something with him, and I said, I don't want you to think that I've been so bad in my life. I've had some faults. I've made some errors. And I've sinned, and I've come short of the glory of God. But my thinking used to be messed up. My thinking used to be all tore up. And I said, but now it ain't as bad as it used to be. Because there's a constant effort to change it. If I'm not getting the results that I desire to get in my life, and even higher than that, if I'm not getting the results that God desires me to have in my life, I'm working on changing my mind. I'm working on changing my mind. I'm all off my lesson for the day, but I'll get to it in a minute. I'm working on changing my mind. I spend time with God every day so that my mind can change. But don't bother me between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. in the morning because somewhere between 3 and 4, I'm up on the floor spending time with God. And it ain't about preaching with me. It ain't about preaching. I'm not up trying to get a message. Surely I'm not up to study for a sermon. My sermons or my messages, if you will, come out of my time, my personal time that I spend with the Lord. Amen. Right there in the midst of it sometimes, here he goes, downloading from heaven or uploading from here, things that he wants me to say to you, amen. That's why I'm deliberate from certain types of teaching, amen, certain types of preaching, because God knows what we need, amen. God knows that we need to hear consistently about mind change, if you will, amen. He's not trying to brainwash us, amen. He's trying to get our minds to line up with his thinking, amen, because he knows that best results or the better results, or the greatest results, come from him, amen. And we're not going to move in his direction if we're not thinking the way he desires to think, amen. That's why we got to talk about cultural change. Everything I learned when I was coming up in the community wasn't godly. Everything that I saw in the community that I came up in wasn't godly, amen. And some of the practices and behaviors that I took on in the community that I was in didn't lead me nowhere. Sometimes led me to trouble. Somebody say trouble. Sometimes led me backward. Somebody say backward. When I realized that now, because I learned these things in my foundation, when I realized that now, I go to working on that mess. And I can call it mess if it's not conducive to good living. That mentality used to be party all the time. Drink as much as I can drink. Get as high as I can get. And when I come down, or when I came down, some situations were still the same. Some of us drink now to get away from things. Some of us smoke now to get away from things. Amen. But let's be rational.
It may take you away for a little while.
Somebody said temporary.
But the real deal is when you come down,
it's going to still be the same. It's going to still be the same.
So, and I don't have anything against drinking. I don't have anything against drinking. I was going to say getting high. But I don't have anything against drinking. Somebody say amen. Because God don't have anything against drinking. But if you're getting inebriated,
somebody's saying something. I don't know what they're saying. Amen. And let me help you. I don't drink because I can't control it. I can't control alcohol. She said, no, my lane. Alcohol just makes me act a fool. You think I talk now? let me get a few under my belt, amen. You think I say some things now that you don't like? Let me get a few under my belt, amen. I might be running from you because I might have said something to you that makes you good and mad, amen. So I don't drink because I can't control it. And if I take a social drink, I want another drink. If I take another drink, I want another drink. And next thing you know, I'm getting there. I'm passing buzz. I'm getting to the place of inebriation. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So I don't drink. But if you're drinking, getting drunk, snorting, getting high, to try to cover up something that has happened in your life, or something that's not going the way that you desire to go in your life, you need to understand that's futile. It's futile. Somebody say futile. It's empty. The Bible said, be not drunk with wine because it's dissipation. It's useless. Amen. You got to come down. If you've got issues in your life that you can't seem to get over, and you've tried the drinking and the smoking and all that kind of stuff, and it's still not getting you over, you need to start dealing with your mind. You need to start dealing with your thinking. I tried getting high, Pastor. I tried drinking, getting drunk every other day. Things still the same, Pastor. I know it, baby. So you need to start working on something else. You need to start working on that thing that causes change. You need to get up under somebody who can help you. It ain't necessarily talking about a preacher. You might need to spend some time. A lot of folks don't like to hear me talk about this. You might need to spend some time at the psychologist. You might need to change the group of thinking, a group of people that you hang out with. You might need to see some new direction, and that might cause you to have to disconnect from your culture or your cultural learning. I was born black, Pastor. I always think black. I think I said this last week, and I'm trying to move on, but the Holy Spirit has me here for some reason. There's no such thing as thinking black. There's no such thing as thinking black. Black is a color. Now, you might think like all black folks. And the reason why you think like all black folks is because you've been hanging out with all black folks. Culture. I used to think black because I am black until I started hanging out with other parts of society. And I picked up some things that they were thinking, and they weren't black. I shift cultures. Start learning new things. Now, I respect the black culture because I am black. I respect black people because I am black. And I don't like all the time how black folks treat it, amen. Because I get part of the mistreatment, amen. But I don't think a certain way because I am. I think a certain way because I've been trained to think that way. My community has taught me to think that way. Somebody say amen. Now today, I don't know how much time I have. Baby, where am I? Hmm? She's got it lost. I was just counting her. Amen. She said, I got 20 minutes. Okay, let's see what we can do in 20 minutes. This is going to probably run a couple of more weeks. Today we want to give us some more insights on culture. Say on culture. And before I can start giving us these insights, I got to probably define culture again. Amen. Culture is defined as, one, the development or improvement of the mind by education and training. Let's make this simple. Your mind was developed somewhere in the culture where you came up at. Amen. Your mind was trained somewhere in the culture that you came up in, whatever culture it was. Your mind was educated. Your mind was trained. And I'll get into this a little bit more in a minute, in that particular environment, culture. For the most part, the foundational part of you was trained, or me, or us was trained there. Somebody say amen. Number two, culture is defined as the behaviors and beliefs characteristic of a particular group of people. Amen. You might think you think black because you were raised in a black culture. For the most part, many blacks think the same. Not only do many blacks think the same, many whites think the same. Many Hispanics think the same as it relates to foundational stuff. It's because of their culture. Somebody say culture. Many professionals think the same in a lot of areas. It's because of the professional culture. Amen. We should think like Christians because we're part of the Christian culture. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Christian part of our thinking ought to override all the negative part of our thinking that we have. Amen. But it takes time to get there. Somebody say it takes time to get there. Number three, culture is defined as the values. Somebody say values. What's important to you as an individual? Where did you learn those values from? Did you learn those values from your culture? Are your cultural values getting you anywhere? Promoting you in the area of success? Getting you favorable outcomes in your life? Amen. Where did your values come from? I need to tell you, in most cases, it came from your culture. Good or bad? Somebody say good or bad. Culture is defined as the values, typical practices, and goals of organizations, people groups, large organizations, etc., such as Christian culture, black culture, white culture, Hispanic culture, professional culture, etc. I just repeated it. Somebody say amen. And number four, culture is defined as the sum total of ways of living built by a group of human beings and transmitted from one generation to another. We talk about generational curses a lot, but we don't talk a lot about generational behavior. Sometimes you act like your mama acts. Ain't going to talk about nobody mama today on Mother's Day. Sometimes you act like your daddy act. And sometimes he act like his daddy acted. Or she acted like her mama acted. Because it was passed down. That's not a curse. That's a behavior. It was passed down from one generation to another. Now, where it's in the genes. No. Your physical appearance is in your genes. Amen. That was in your genes, amen. Your behavior was passed down by what you learned from somebody else, amen. And it can be changed. Somebody say it can be changed. I have to watch myself because I'll try to preach on every definition. The sum total, culture, the sum total of your ways of living built by a group of human beings. That's strong right there. And transmitted from one generation to another, amen. So before I can give you new insights on culture, I have to define culture to you again so that we can be all on the same page as it relates to culture. Somebody say culture. Number one for today. Somebody said the world. That is, this present age. Two Greek words in the New Testament that describe the term world. One is cosmos. Somebody say cosmos. That's basically talking about the earth, what we see, etc. Amen. There's another word called aeon. Somebody say aeon. That describes age, time periods, etc. Amen. So this girl, that is, my goodness, this is, that is this present age, consists of seven mountains. Somebody say seven mountains. Seven mountains or seven high places of cultural influence that impact or shape the thinking of all society. That is all people groups. Somebody say all people groups. Let me say that again. The world, that is this age, this present age, and it was the last age and the age before that, but we're just talking about this present age right now. Somebody say amen. The world, that is this present age, consists of seven mountains, that is high places of cultural influence that impact or shape the thinking of all society. There are seven high places. Somebody say seven high places. There are seven high places in the earth realm, in this present age, that impact every people group in the world's thinking. Amen. Somebody say amen. And I think Jesus, when he was being tempted by Satan, Satan told him, all these kingdoms I'll give to you if you just bow down and worship me. Amen. I think he was talking about those different high places in the earth realm that impacts all of our thinking. Amen. So there's at least seven. Somebody say seven. Seven cultural mountains in this earth realm. Seven cultural high places in this earth realm that impacts the behavior or the thinking of every people group in this earth realm. Amen. Can we talk about them? Number one. How much time do I have, baby? Number one is media. Somebody say media. Somebody say media. Media, somebody say media, impacts the thinking or the behavior of every individual in this earth realm somewhere. Somebody say media. What does the media consist of? I'm glad you asked. Media consists of books, magazines, newspaper, television, podcasts, movies, video games, music, music lyrics, cell phones, computers, various kinds of software, news cycles, and the internet, amen. Media, somebody say media, is the means of communication all over the globe. Somebody say amen. Have you ever, and I'll just use inner city, Have you ever wondered why inner city in Birmingham, inner city in Chicago, inner city in New York, inner city in California, inner city in Mobile, inner city? Have you ever noticed how all inner city groups almost think the same and behave the same? Have you ever thought about that? You think... You might think it's a demonic angel in every place pushing all of them to do the same thing. No, they have a mutual message that's coming from somewhere. Amen. Perhaps they're listening to the same teacher. Perhaps they're listening to the same music lyrics. They're listening to something that calls them to be in agreement on the way that they're thinking, on the way that they behave. Amen. And it comes through media. Whether you want to receive it, believe it or not, it comes through media, amen. Your democratic mindset comes through media, amen. Or it's built upon through media. Somebody said media. One of the biggest things in this country today that's going on is people are polarized as it relates to which side of the aisle that they're on as it relates to politics, amen. If you are conservative, quote unquote, you listen to Fox News, amen. And they just continue to build on your belief system as a conservative, amen. If you're Democratic, you're going to listen to CNN or MSNBC, amen. And it continues to build on what you believe as a Democrat, if you will. Somebody say amen. All of that comes through media. It's impacting the way that you think. And some of y'all will fight for your Democratic parties, amen. It's impacting the way that we behave, amen. It all comes through media.
a lot of violence that we see in communities, et cetera, et cetera. It comes from video games. Folks play video games all day long, and they get up and think that they can do. I got some grandchildren that watch, they do video games, and their parents are very protective. They do the games, the basketball games, football games, all that fighting and shooting and stuff. They can't do it, which means you can monitor what your children do. You can you can provide leadership for your children, even as it relates to video games. Amen. Some of this violence is learned from video games. And you get out in the street and you try to do what you saw in the video games, amen. Sometimes you get away with it, sometimes you don't, amen. Sometimes it's somebody that's more skilled in it than you are, amen. But it all comes through media. All media carries a message. Somebody said, with knowledge comes power. With knowledge comes choice. If you don't like what media is making you into, you need to cut the media, amen, because you have a choice to cut it. I'm tired of what media, as a matter of fact, you might not like me for this, I'm taking a look at my political views again, amen, because I always like what I'm following, amen. Now, I'm going to vote, so I have to vote for the lesser of two evils. I'm going to vote because my folks died for it, amen. I'm not going to give up my right to vote, amen. I'll give it up when I die, but prior to that, I'm going to vote, amen. I'm going to know where the voting precinct is for me to vote, so that I can go and vote, amen, because I have the right somebody died for me to vote. Somebody say amen. So now I'm trying to get away from the media shaping my political views, amen. I like to think I'm an independent thinker. Media. Somebody say media. Carries a message. Say message. Somebody say all media. Carries a message. It influences the way that we think. And I mentioned a whole lot of them. I hope you caught it. And it influenced the way that we behave. Number two. Government. I say government. The systems, the policies, and the procedure that runs the country and run the states. All those policies, systems, procedures influences us in some way. It influences the way that we think about government. Some parties think we got too much government. Some parties think that we don't have enough. Somebody thinks the government is too much in our business, et cetera, et cetera. We got to have government. Somebody say amen. But the real deal is government is one of those mountains that influence the way that we think. Influence the way that we behave. I wish I had more time to dive in that, but I got five more to give you. I think that's going to be all I'm going to be able to cover today. Somebody say education. And I'm not talking about education right here for profession. I'm talking about general education. I'm talking about general knowledge that you learn wherever you lived, that general knowledge that you live by now. That was one of the mountains that influenced the way that you think now. And the way that you behave or live now. I often bump heads with millennials, if you will. And I bump heads with millennials sometimes because of my general knowledge of how we should live. Millennials think a lot differently than baby boomers. And sometimes it's sort of hard to be able to mesh, if you will. We bump heads sometimes. Because of the way that we were educated as it relates to general knowledge. You know, a millennial won't work nowhere long.
I mean, if they stop learning in a place, Erica says some. If they stop learning in a place, if they stop being able to serve in that place where they are in the way that they desire to serve, a lot of them will move on. Baby boomers would talk to stick it out. Stand there anyhow. Stay there. A lot of times we have promotion in mind. We had in mind working through retirement. Now they ain't gonna play that. They gonna play that. So education as it relates to just general knowledge. Somebody said general knowledge. That was a mountain that aided you in your thinking now. In the way that you live now. Somebody say amen. Number four. I feel like I'm working today, man. Number four is the economy. Somebody said the economy. That's the monetary system that we live in. That mountain definitely determines how we live, amen. Where you work, how much money you make, how you invest your money, et cetera, et cetera. Determines your quality of life. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Number five. Can I bag up the money for a minute? How much time do I have, baby? 8 minutes. Can I bag up the money for a minute? We got to do a better job in the church of teaching our folks how to deal with money. Yeah, we got to do a better job in the church of showing our folks that one ain't nothing wrong with having some. Ain't nothing wrong with getting to the place where you let it work for you and you stop working for it. We got to do a better job of this. You ought to be able to retire at 55 or 60 if you want to. Amen. I'm reading a leadership book now. And when I get through reading a leadership book, our leadership is going to have to read the leadership book, and we're going to discuss some of it. And one of the sections is a section on money. Somebody said money. And the author says the difference between the folks who are struggling to get money and the folks who are struggling to save and the folks who save money is the fact that the folks who are struggling to save try to save after they pay everything. The folks who have money that's habitually saving, they save, and then they live off what's left. In Christendom, a lot of we tithe 10%, and we save either 10 or 20%, and we live off the rest. When we get old, we got some money, amen, that could govern whether or not we can retire when we get ready, amen. You know, we did this study, Dave Ramsey study not long ago, years ago. And Dave Ramsey showed us if we could just start saving X amount of dollars at 16 years old and save without touching it until we get a certain age, all of us could be millionaires at around 62 or 65. But we got to be disciplined. Every time you think about you want something, you go touch that money that you got saving. Baby, it's going to be gone before you know it. We got to get to a place where we can put it there, leave it there, so that it can grow. And I'm going to throw this out parenthetically. Then our children won't always start behind the eight ball. Our grandchildren won't always start behind the eight ball. They won't have all this student loan they got to grapple with because we left them the money to pay for their education. We got to get to the point where we do economy better. Somebody said better. And I'm not implying that all of us are doing economy bad. You have to say these things because folks take issue with what you say if they think you're talking about them. Amen. I'm talking about church in general. Number six, religion. Somebody say religion. That religious mountain is a mountain that that governs a lot of people's behavior and the way that we believe and think, amen. Let me give you a good definition of religion. Religion is defined as a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe, especially when considered as the creation of a superhuman agency or agent, amen, usually involving devotional and ritual observances, and often containing a moral code governing the conduct of human affairs, amen. So religion has to do with who's running the universe, what that person that's running the universe desire of us as people, how we should live, how we should practice or not practice morality, etc. Amen. Our religion, and I don't like to call it religion, but that's what it is. What it is, amen. Because we got a set of beliefs that we govern ourselves by, amen. Christianity, we believe in one God, or three gods in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. We believe in holiness. We believe in morality. As a matter of fact, I'm going to throw some message. I'm going to teach a little bit more about it down the road. The Christian church is supposed to be an ethical force in the earth realm. We're supposed to be teaching folks how to live morally. Not with our mouths, but through our actions. Be holy, God said, for I am holy. That's the standard of living that God gives us to live. And often we fall short in that area. I say y'all, I say we. Because sometimes, even though we're saved, we're worse than the world. We act worse than the world act. Step on your shoe, you might cut me, shoot me. If I say something, you know, by mistake that might hurt your feelings, ain't no telling what you might do to me. You forgot about the cheek. You forgot about the extra mile. You only think about self. So if I can just throw this out parenthetically, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, we'll get into principles and things like that. We're supposed to be a moral force. Somebody say a moral force. Okay, y'all didn't like that very well. Because that holds us accountable to God, amen. Number seven. Oh, let me say this about religions. Different religions believe and practice different things. I'm not a Buddhist because I don't believe in what they practice. I don't mean any harm. I'm not a Muslim because I don't believe in what they practice. I'm not a part of some of these other religions because I don't believe in what they practice. The overall message of the Christian church is love. Yeah, love. Somebody say love. Jesus said love your enemies and your friends. Some religions teach you to hate your enemies. And don't put up with your friends as long as they don't do what you want them to do. Amen. Christianity teaches unconditional love. I say unconditional love. I love you in spite of what your faults are. I started out in Christianity because my mama made me be there. But then I got to know Jesus for myself. I won't go nowhere else. I don't want to be a part of no religion. I'm not casting stones at anybody. I don't want to be a part of no religion that tries to teach me to hate different people groups. That try to teach me to harm different people groups. I don't want to have nothing to do with that religion. Amen. I'd rather love because I got to live in this earth realm with everybody. Love does no evil to his neighbor. Sometimes I feel like doing a little something, but amen. I know the scriptures, amen. Number seven. How much time I got, baby? She said my time is up. Number seven, arts and entertainment. Arts and entertainment. I don't know about you. I'm going to talk about me for 1 second. 2 seconds, 5, 10 seconds. The entertainment world have impacted my type of living in a lot of ways. As a matter of fact, the entertainment world or somebody or something in the entertainment world years ago impacted the way that I talked,
some of my concepts about people, et cetera, et cetera. And it's because I listen to that particular entertainer day in and day out. And because I listened to that particular entertainer, who's a part of entertainment, he impacted the way that I thought and the way that I behaved. And some of you all, I mean, we matured to a place where it don't impact us as much. But some of us don't even believe that the entertainment industry even impacts our thinking. I just dare you to listen to how you talk, to watch what you do. You will see. Here again, I'm not casting any aspersions on anybody or anything. What I'm just trying to teach you is, if the mountains have impacted you in a negative way, in a way that's not conducive to living, because you have the knowledge of those mountains impacting you, now you can withdraw from them if you desire. You can turn them off. You can separate yourself from them. Or you can change the type of programming that you might receive from certain entertainment, if you will. I love to laugh. But the cleanest laughing I can get is, I have to go back some years. Somebody say amen. Some entertainers, I just have to pass right by because I don't want them to impact the way that I behave or the way that I talk or the way that I interact with people. I have to watch Different World and Urkel and all them folks to be able to laugh. Amen. Because some of the entertainers today, if you listen to them, I might be talking about your parents or, you know, it just might come out. It might come out because it's part of my brain. Somebody say amen. So because we understand where a lot of our thinking has been impacted, and it's because of those seven mountains. Well, I read, and I'm closing. I read that the only way that the Christian church is going to ever change the world for Christ is we got to be able to impact these seven mountains. Because that's where we live. That's where we live. Sure, that's where we live. I got to be able to be on TV. I got to be able to be on the internet regularly. I got to be able to get in the entertainment industry. I got to be able to get in all those places if I'm going to impact this world for Christ. Amen. And not only do I have to be able to get in, I got to be able to get in the head of some of those places. Amen. If I'm going to get Christ's message out. In his way of living out, amen. So somebody say culture. Culture is important. And in this earth realm, these seven mountains that shape cultural thinking, cultural behavior, we got to be able to make decisions about them. Make decisions about them. Y'all need something? Number seven, arts and entertainment. Amen. So I got a lot more to say about that. But I can't say it today because my time is up. I hope there's something to say today that helps us. That helps us in our living in the earth realm. Let us pray. Lord, we honor you. We bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If I can get a little soft music as I give the invitation to Christ, if you're listening to us today, watching us today, anybody hotter than me?
Why are hundreds of thousands of investors getting help from Motley Fool Stock Advisor?
I don't know. Amen. Just a little funny. Amen. If you're listening today, if you need Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, wherever you are, it should be in the comment section on our social media. If you need Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, there's at least a couple of ways that you can enter or allow him to enter into your life. Number one, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, salvation is yours. Somebody say amen. Or if you desire to just ask him into your life, you can ask him in by way of prayer. You can ask him to come into your life, change you, ask him to come into your life, save you. Ask him to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, etc., etc. And if you sincerely, by faith, ask him in, I believe that he will come in and make the change in your life. Amen. Somebody say amen. If you're viewing us by way of social media
if you're listening to us by way of teleconferencing, there's at least five platforms that you can give if you desire to give. That's Givelify, Cash App, PayPal, Bank, Bill Pay, the U.S. Postal Service as well. Somebody say amen. And if you are viewing us today and you have children that needs children's church, our children's church starts at 11:30 a.m. Somebody say amen. You can join our children's church by way of Zoom. The Zoom ID number is 825-199-7060. That's 825-199-7060. And the password is FCCM. That's all lowercase letters. 1238. Again, that's FCCM. All lowercase letters. 1238. Amen. That's wrong, isn't it? Okay, I'm just reading what I see. I'm sorry. Our Zoom meeting ID for the children's church is 832-3475-6582. That's 832-3475-6582. And the password is 680. I apologize to the children's church. 680-632. That's 680-632. We have Bible study each Wednesday night at 6:45 p.m. We have Bible study by way of Facebook Live, Zoom, and teleconferencing. Amen. Zoom ID for Bible study is 825-199-7060. That's 825-199-7060. And the password is FCCM, all lowercase letters, 1238. Again, that's FCCM, 1238. All lowercase letters. Amen. Did I omit anything? Our teleconference number, thank you so much. Our teleconference number for Bible study is 1-800-697-4304. Again, that's 1-800-687-4304. And the access code is 205-261-4921. Again, that's 205-261-4921. Somebody say amen. Well, that's all we have for today. I hope that this teaching, this worship experience have been a blessing to you. And until next week, I pray God's blessings upon you. I pray his peace upon you. I pray that he will keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.